We begin this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. She came in very late to my high school class reunion. She came in late and she was rushing in and her hair was flying all directions and she had this kind of poncho of bright colors. And even though it had been many years, I recognized who she was. She was the class clown. And not the one who cracked jokes and had everybody laughing with her. People laughed at her. She was always different, and she seemed to embrace that difference. And so people made fun of her, and she was very much alone. So as we all got talking about what we had done from the time of our high school graduations to the present, she shared that she was a nurse practitioner. And she had chosen to work with prostitutes and drug addicts and criminals. And I had to believe that those years of feeling like a loser with her classmates probably drew her, gave her a heart for the losers of society. It was the losers like that that the Pharisees were upset about in today's gospel. They called them sinners, but they were prostitutes or tax collectors who were working really for the Roman government. We can think in modern terms of drug dealers and radical terrorists, the people we don't want to be with, the people we don't trust. Those were the people Jesus was not only rubbing elbows with, shoulders with, he was inviting them to eat with him. And so the Pharisees had a question for Jesus. They knew Jesus to be someone who was law-abiding and honest. Why? Why did he take time with them? Why did he treat them the way he treated other people, who were a lot better? Why did he care about these outcasts, these ingrates, these degenerate people? Well, I have to believe that there's a little bit of the Pharisee in me. That would be a question maybe I would have. I would not be so comfortable with these people. I maybe wouldn't want my children to be with them. I would be a little fearful. And probably because I think of myself as respectable, the way the Pharisees thought of themselves. They were good people. People looked up to them. They were hardworking. And really, so are all of us. We are respectable people. We're here today. Lots of people don't belong to church, and they might be home, sleeping, playing tennis at Starbucks. But we feel this is the right thing to do. So we are here today. And when the offering plate comes around, you'll probably put something in it. Not that you couldn't use the money for yourself, but it's the right thing to do. And we are respectable people. If you're an adult, you probably haven't had a brush with the law too often, maybe a few speeding tickets or something. If you're a student, you probably haven't been expelled. If you're an adult who drinks, you probably learn to drink responsibly. If you're a youth, you have probably learned to navigate around all the many temptations in high school and college, because we are hardworking, respectable people. And it seems to me that that gives us a lot of confidence. You know, we go out in the world with a sense of self-confidence. We're good people. People think of us that way. And we can feel that we're valuable. But confidence can be shattered. 15 years ago, our country was pretty confident that we were safe from terrorists. And then, as we were reminded in Sunday school, with a very interesting recap of it, it was just a small band of people and a few planes, and they shattered our sense of security. And we had to relook at what we do to keep our people safe. And then it wasn't too many years, and there was a downturn in the economy. And people who felt very secure financially suddenly found their investments, their homes, maybe their jobs were in jeopardy. And we had to relook at how secure our economy is. I believe that Jesus is asking us to look at something different today. To look at how secure this sense of confidence, this spiritual security is that we feel. Because when we're honest, we can look at this wonderful field of good things that we've done in our lives, which are very pleasing to God and to each other. But in this field are also weeds. The weeds may be of ulterior motives for a lot of the good things that we do, or selfishness. The weeds of being judgmental or jealous or bigoted or angry. Are holding grudges. And if we're honest, we realize that with all these weeds, we really don't deserve to be called children of God. Because children should look like their parents, and we really don't look like God. You know, Jesus was the one who taught us to call God Father. In the Old Testament, God was Yahweh, God was Elohim, God was Lord. But this Father, that title was given to us by Jesus. And whether you think of God as a father or if it's helpful to think of a mother, you think of God as a loving parent. And that's probably the best metaphor we have to try to understand this amazing love of God. If you didn't have loving parents, it's not such a good metaphor. But if you did, or you were a loving parent, or you are a loving parent, you know the truth. There is nothing your child can do that would make you stop loving them. You may be angry, you may be disappointed, you may be hurt, but you will never stop loving them. And that's the answer to the Pharisees' question, why? Why, Jesus, do you treat these people as if they are somebody? It's because he was looking at them through the eyes of God, who saw them all as God's children. You see, there's still the problem with weeds. God loves us, but we still have all these selfish things in our lives. So Jesus lived and died and rose again to make a trade. Jesus took our weeds and gave us his perfection, and he spread it over the whole earth like a beautiful, righteous robe, a robe of righteousness that glitters and shines. He spread it over the whole world. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He spread it over the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the drug dealers and the criminals. And he spread it over us. And all that's left for us to do is to see it and to receive it. And it's ours. And then suddenly what we have is something that is secure. We have a reason to be confident despite what happens in the world or what happens in our hearts, because it doesn't rest on us. So we go into the world with not arrogance like the Pharisees or judgmentalness or fear. I think they were fearful, but with a sense of confidence, humility, and gratitude that we have been given this status of sons and daughters of God. And we also go into the world with our own question, not why would we love people who are on the fringe of society, who are the outcasts, the dregs, but why aren't they here? Who's missing? And how can we find them? You know, on the morning of 9/11, one band of firefighters was met by their chaplain. And before they went into the burning building, he had a prayer with each of them. And then if they were Christian, he took out his anointing oil and he made the sign of the cross on their foreheads. And later that day, people who had been rescued said they remembered, in all the flames and the ashes, seeing the glow of a cross on the foreheads of those who rescued them. Jesus has sent us out into the world, and it's not always a safe world, to take risks for people who are on the fringes, to stand up for people that are scorned or who are even feared. Stand up to injustice, and to ask who is missing when we come to the church on Sunday morning, and ask God to give us the words to invite them, and certainly to pray for them. And we do this all because of Christ, who loves us and stands at the door of the heavenly kingdom. It's open. He's waiting. He is so hopeful, and he's ready to help us make sure that every child of God, that every man and woman and child is able to enter and rejoice in the banquet that begins in this life and continues forever. Amen.